When, Dr. Marcus, when they set up the arsenal, was there a specific goal or purpose in using that facility to start a program of public health?
Of course, when you get a set of buildings for a dollar.
I see. You make use of them.
Yes.
I see. But there wasn't anything in mind of let's try and do this different than other hospitals in the area.
No. That was up to me and my staff to try to do different things.
Mm-hmm. And did you draw from a wide area?
Oh, yes. I had a sub-office in McKeesport. We had all the towns up the Allegheny River. We had 29 jurisdictions under us. And we used to...
All hospital facilities?
No.
Mental health
mental
facilities.
Mental health facilities.
Uh-huh. And they all, 29, came back to you?
Yes, 29 health officers in mm-hmm. different places.
Mm-hmm.
I was just telling somebody, I don't know how much you know about the Pittsburgh people that are prominent in hospital stuff, mm-hmm. like the Olivers.
Yes.
And Oliver was the health officer for Sewickley.
Uh-huh.
Now, Sewickley has more doctors than the medical society.
Yes.
But it was the only place where I went to the annual meeting where they said a prayer before the meeting. They all got up and said a prayer. And then when it came time to introduce me, Mr. Oliver said, "This is Dr. Marcus, a dear old friend of my mother's."
Oh.
I knew his mother when I was a nurse.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't know I was her dear old friend.
He was then young.
Yeah.
Were these the Olivers from the construction company?
Yes.
They were board members, I presume.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you had a lot of wealthy people who backed up.
Right. And just the other day I had a call from a woman who wrote a book that I was reading, and she said that she asked Mr. Lockhart, now that name may mean something to you, they're very prominent, wealthy people.
Uh-huh.
She asked Mr. Lockhart if anybody would know about Dr. Gagin. And Mr. Lockhart said, "Why does anybody ask anybody else but Marcus? She knows everyone."
Mm-hmm. Did you know Dr. Gagin?
I knew him very well, and I disliked him thoroughly.
Oh.
But his granddaughter's living, and she wants to study medicine. That's why this woman called.
I see. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me, what was the advantage of medical students training at Arsenal versus the local hospitals? Were there advantages?
Yes, there were advantages because we gave them personal attention.
Mm-hmm.
In the hospitals, they were just shuffled through.
I see. So they could learn more.
They could learn more. Mm-hmm.
Did you conduct seminars with them and that kind of thing?
Yes.
I see. So they really had a better basis.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. And how were the services that you offered at Arsenal funded?
Funded?
Yeah.
Well, they were funded by the county.
They were.
Some by the state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they contributed money to keep the arsenal going, because you didn't keep it going just on fees.
No. No.
Did you have sliding scale fees?
I can't remember.
You don't remember. That's all right. That's all right. And how about, you know, for example, you had to be paid, Dr. Spock had to be paid, Dr. Erickson, McFarland.
Yeah. Well, the latter ones that you named were paid from the University of Pittsburgh.
Oh,
and the rest of us were paid from the county.
I see. So there was a difference because they were brought in by the University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
May I ask a question? It was essentially a county facility, is that correct?
It was a county facility.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what... Mm-hmm. And I know you knew Dr. Margaret McFarland real well. What was her field of expertise?
She was a professor of child psychology at Mount Holyoke.
Mm-hmm. So she came here. She was brought here?
Yes, Spock
brought her.
He brought her. He had her come in one week and had me interview her.
I see.
And of course, she and I fell in love right away. We both wanted the same things.
Good.
So she came, and she just was a marvelous woman.
Mm-hmm. Was Spock also educated in psychiatry?
Yes.
I see. So this was kind of a fellow's.
Yes, he was a psychiatric pediatrician.
Mm-hmm. And her expertise was also in psychiatry with children?
Yes.
I see. And I recall that you had mentioned that Dr. McElroy recruited her for the arsenal. What did he see as her role, since you already had Spock there?
Oh, well, he saw her role as contributing to knowledge of child development,
mm-hmm.
in the observation of children at their play and so forth. You know, we had a nursery school.
You did?
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, one of the buildings was devoted to the nursery school, and the nursery school was in part subsidized by Sarah Scaife and and Josephine Falk.
Mm-hmm.
And they came and saw that the place was furnished properly, and we had the observation windows where you could see what the children were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a staff, and now those children, I insisted at the time that the children should be neighborhood children,
right,
and not university, so they did that. Mm-hmm. And we had children from the families in the area.
What age groups? Do you know? Did you take them at infancy?
No. We took them, I would say, at 3.
I see. And Dr. McFarland observed these children and did some research?
She really ran the school.
She ran
the school.
And she, but her observations were recorded, I presume.
Yes, and she taught the medical students when they came.
Uh-huh.
You see, they had a session with her, and then we had seminars with her.
So you learned from what she observed?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And did those parents of these children pay for this nursery school set? No.
No. And they were the children of the various ethnic groups.
Mm-hmm.
And Margaret McFarland established an excellent relationship with them over the years.
I see.
In fact, she had a, what do you call it when you're through school? She had a class for the kids.
Like a graduation?
An alumni.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Of those children?
Of those children.
When they were grown?
Oh, she followed them for a long time.
She did. That's interesting. And did she write up her?
Oh, yes. She's written scads. I don't know who has it.
All her observations.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The children who came didn't pay because this was a research project, I presume.
Yeah, I guess it was in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also a county project.
Mm-hmm. And there was, but the people who came to your various departments at the arsenal did pay something for service.
What departments?
What other department, whether they went to a medical clinic or whatever, they had to pay for services?
Well, most of the things now, like TV,
mm-hmm.
is a service of the county.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't have to pay. They
come
for chest x-ray and
mm-hmm.
evaluation.
But if they were hospitalized there?
Nobody was hospitalized.
It was all outpatient. I see. Tell me, how did it happen that Dr. McFarland decided to invite, or maybe you did, Fred Rogers?
She did.
She did.
Fred Rogers was studying for the ministry.
Yes.
And he wanted to know more about child development. So whether he approached Margaret or she approached him,
uh-huh.
I don't know. But we saw Fred Rogers grow up.
You did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you were well acquainted with him?
Very well acquainted.
Tell me what he was like as a person.
He's a mild man,
mm-hmm.
a gentleman, and kind of interested in everything,
mm-hmm.
and really likes people and likes kids.
Yes.
And what can I tell you?
He didn't follow through on the ministry.
What's
then.
It?
Did he
yes,
follow?
He did.
Oh,
yes,
he did.
Oh, he's ordained, yes.
I see.
Yes.
But he still wanted to work with children.
Yes, and he had worked up in Canada.
Uh-huh.
And on the Columbia Broadcasting, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was so funny. I had lunch with him shortly after he came back to Pittsburgh. And he said while he was in Canada, he wrote an opera for children.
Oh.
And I said, oh, isn't that wonderful? And he said, but, you know, it would take an awful lot of money to put it over. And I said, I didn't know anything about his family. And I said, oh, I guess we could find a few rich people that would finance it. And then I learned that there are several foundations, the McFeely Foundation,
mm-hmm.
That are his family's. He could finance it 1,000 times
without you.
Yeah.
Without you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Tell me, Dr. Erickson, when he was brought in, there was another psychiatrist.
Yes.
What then was his role at the Arsenal?
His role was as a consultant.
Yes.
And I want to tell you a little bit about him.
Good.
He was born in Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he was orphaned early. His father had been a pediatrician. No, I don't know what his father had been, but his mother married a pediatrician.
I see.
And he was being raised in this family. And he said that one of the things he never wanted to be was a doctor.
Oh.
He didn't want to be a doctor.
At any cost.
Yeah. And then he went to work for Anna Freud. She had a kindergarten, and he taught art.
Mm-hmm.
And after he was with her for a short time, she said, you know, you're so good, my father thinks that you ought to be analyzed.
Mm-hmm.
So he and the elder Freud got together, and he was analyzed, and he became the outstanding psychoanalyst in the country. Never have been inside of a public school.
Really? And then he came to America.
Yes, then he came to America, and he went to Harvard as a professor.
Uh-huh.
And from then on, it was Erickson, you know.
Yeah, but who was he? Who was consulting with him at the Arsenal?
Spock.
Oh, Spock.
Spock and Margaret McFarlane.
I see. Both of them were.
Yeah.
I see. Using him. That's interesting. Did you have much contact with Dr. Erickson?
With Dr.
Erickson?
Yes.
Did you?
Every time he came,
uh-huh.
I had contact with him and listened in on the seminars.
Uh-huh.
And
did you get to know him personally?
Well, I knew him as personally as I knew any of the doctors.
I see.
His wife was an artist of some kind.
Uh-huh. But she wasn't here in Pittsburgh.
Yes, she was.
Oh, she was?
Yeah, they lived here for a while. They had a home here.
I see. So as a consultant to the Arsenal, he was in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Where was he working? At the university?
At the university and at the Arsenal.
I see. Uh-huh. But you never really intermingled with his family?
Not really.
No. Uh-huh. Okay. You also mentioned that you used to have these meetings, staff,
yeah.
All these people got together once you had a beer and pretzel meeting at your house. Maybe
well,
you had it more than
well,
once.
Well, I had that every 6 weeks for the students.
Oh, for the students.
That was part of the program at the pediatrics department that sent the students to Arsenal.
Uh-huh.
To really learn about well children and how to be a good mother and so
uh-huh.
forth. And so they came once a week for 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the 6 weeks, I would have them over for an evening, just for fun.
Socially?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And did you invite you said sometimes...
Oh, Spock.
Spock.
I would invite all the doctors that worked
you did.
With them, and they came.
Uh-huh. So you really had a nice social group
yes,
there.
Yes, we had a nice social group.
Uh-huh. Did any of those students eventually come to be known pediatricians in this area?
I don't know whether they're known pediatricians, but the students that came there, one of them is, I won't remember any names, but one of them is president of Purdue.
Oh.
He was a neighbor of my sister's, and he came, he was a refugee, a little boy.
I see.
And he came and went to Pitt, and finally he's president of Purdue.
That's beautiful.
And I'm trying to think, there are a lot of
them. You didn't follow them, their careers.
One of them, I think his name was Mankiewicz, who went to Pitt, and he is a leading orthopedist at Harvard.
He's now in Boston, right.
Yes.
But he was in Pittsburgh, Mankiewicz, for a while.
Yes, he was.
Yes.
Yes.
So he was one of those young medical students.
He was one of those students, huh?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, there are a great many of them.
Yes.
When anybody says to me, do you know so-and-so? I always say, does he know me?
Ah!
And,
yes.
and he does.
Right. What was the relationship among these staff of Spock and Erickson? And, you know, you also had Dr. Salk at one point. Was there
well,
a camaraderie?
Salk had nothing to do with them.
No, he was separate.
He was up on the hill.
Oh, he didn't come to Arsenal.
No.
But
he only came to the Arsenal when he needed groups of children to test.
I see. Mm-hmm. But was there a positive, or what kind of feelings between Dr. McFarlane, Dr. Spock, Dr. Erickson? Was there a camaraderie there, and Dr. Marcus?
Oh, there was a camaraderie, but as I look back, I think a lot of it was put on.
You do. You think they didn't feel as good toward each other? Was there competition?
I don't know if there was competition. I couldn't tell you. I think you could read in the later books about Spock. But he was a character.
He was a character. But Erickson has gone, you can't tell from his books what kind of person he was.
Oh, he's a wonderful man.
He was.
Had respect for everybody and their contribution to things. Never wrote anybody off.
Good. That's why I asked you what was the feeling among them, whether they respected each other, picked each other's brain to further their own understanding.
See, I can't tell you about how Spock felt about anybody, but I knew that Erickson was very fair and a very nice man.
And Dr. McFarlane?
Oh, my.
Yes.
Can't sing her praises enough.
Yes. You had a long relationship with her.
Yeah.
Was she younger than you?
Yes.
She was.
I wish I could remember this little town up here and where she was born and died.
Did you say Holyoke?
She came from Mount Holyoke.
Mount Holyoke?
College.
Oh, she went to
Mount Holyoke College.
Mount Holyoke. But what's the name of that little town up the road here?
Not too far from here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did she come here right from medical school?
No, she came from Mount Holyoke.
From teaching?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So she was already in the field for a while.
Yeah.
When you were among these men who were in there, were you all able to exchange thinking and ideas to further the Arsenal?
Yes.
We did?
Yeah.
Because you were the one who had to draw them out
for ideas.
And did you at any time do any practice at the Arsenal?
No.
You were administrator only. How did it happen that Erickson decided to go to Harvard to teach, Spock decided to go to Cleveland, and McFarlane stayed, I know that.
I can tell you that Dean McElroy talked with Erickson about coming to Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
But when they talked it over, they decided that it's better for Erickson to stay at Harvard.
I see.
I remember talking with McElroy about the fact that in this place of ethnic people, if you speak English with an accent, you're out.
You're not accepted?
You're not really accepted.
Did Erickson have a heavy accent?
Oh, he had an accent, yes.
I see. And Spock went off from Pittsburgh to Case Western. Was this something he wanted to do? Was he helped to do
it? It was the only thing available.
I see. He didn't want to remain here.
No. Uh-huh. No.
Did you leave before these people left? Did you leave the arsenal before Spock left
no.
for Cleveland or Erickson
no.
for Harvard?
No, I was so connected when mm-hmm. Spock left.
You were?
Yes, he called me on the phone. I think I told you this story. He called me on the phone one night. He wanted me to come to dinner the next
yes,
night.
In yes, Cleveland. Yes,
so
I know.
So he was a little...
odd. Now, you worked at St. Francis and Woodville,
yeah.
right? Tell me, what were these facilities like at that time?
Well, it was a mental health clinic in both places.
Mm-hmm.
And at St. Francis, Dr. Twersky was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And at Woodville, there were different doctors along the road. But we saw patients who were mentally disturbed.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So you worked in... with adults, not
yeah.
children.
I didn't work with any children.
I see. But St. Francis was not the big institution that it is today.
Well,
was
not, not in
huh?
one institution was like it is today.
Yes.
But St. Francis was one of the oldest and well-known, and especially known for psychiatry.
It was. I didn't know
yes.
that. Uh-huh. So that was its major function.
Yeah, well, it had a 600-bed hospital.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Now, did you see patients in the hospital, Doctor?
No, I didn't.
No, just in the outpatient?
Just in the outpatient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Woodville, which now is completely a
nothing.
Long-term institution.
Nothing. It's
huh?
nothing. It's closed.
Yeah, but it was, for several years before it closed,
yeah.
a long-term institute. At the time that you were there,
there
was it also
there,
a
yeah,
long-term
there were still,
facility?
Still patients for long-term care.
It was for
yeah.
long-term care. So it was different from St. Francis in that way.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, the patients at
Woodville.
At Woodville were bed patients.
I see. Now, at the time that you were at St. Francis, were you also doing the work at Woodville?
No.
No. It was a different time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that was a ways out, Woodville.
Yeah, well, it was a ways out, but I had been sick, and one of my friends said that I was getting depressed so that I ought to come to work, I ought to come to Woodville, even though it was a long way out.
Right.
And I hesitated, but he finally talked me into it
mm-hmm.
as a part-time worker.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there about 2 years when someone said, you live in the East End, what do you want to come out here for? Why don't you go to St. Francis? They said St. Francis could use you to write prescriptions for the social workers and so forth. So that's how I went to St. Francis. Just help out for a month or two, and I stayed 10 years.
10 years. Tell me, did you see these? Were these considered good places, St. Francis and Woodville?
I think they were considered good. A lot of people talk about state institutions
yes.
and run them down, but I thought they were very good.
Uh-huh. And in St. Francis, that they gave good care.
Good care.
Because did they have nuns helping out?
They had nuns at the head, but all the rest are nurses.
I see.
And I know the head nuns very well. We
uh-huh.
were friends.
I see. Okay. Did you do any kind of specialization at St. Francis other than what you told me?
No.
No. Would you like to ask any questions? I have just one more. You mentioned your family, and you mentioned that your brother was invalid in his later years.
Yes.
Was that from the asthma?
Yes.
I see. He was unable to get around because of that?
That's right.
But that has not been something in the family.
No.
I don't remember what you told me your mother died from.
Old age.
Uh-huh. She didn't suffer from any specific illness.
Well, she had a fractured hip.
I see. And then that... I just wondered if there are any other things that you have thought of that you would like to share with us.
I don't see. You can't think of it. You've milked me dry.
No. I'm sure there are a lot of things we missed, but go ahead.
Okay. Last time when I thought we were finished, but Shirley said we weren't, we talked about honors and recognitions that you have had.
Say it again.
Honors and recognitions.
And
one of them you said is in the works, maybe, and that is the first 100 women.
Oh, well, that's a program that they're trying to
develop. I don't know about. Tell us about it.
They just had one for the lawyers.
Yes.
They had it for the 100 years of women connected with Pitt.
I see.
Yeah, and
I
now
see.
They're working on doing
physician.
It for Pitt.
So it's called 100 Years of... So it is associated with Pitt.
Yes.
I see. Okay.
Dr. Marcus, what do you think of all the women who are now becoming doctors as contrasted with the time you went to med school when you were only one of two?
What do I think? I think they have a perfect right.
Good.
And I wish them well. Mm-hmm. And most of them can handle the family and the practice.
Yes. And you were a pioneer in that.
Well.
One of the early pioneers in terms of medical doctors.
Yeah.
Because the women today accept that they will be accepted.
Yeah. Oh, there must be. 300-400 in Allegheny
yes.
County.
Yes.
There were 9 in Allegheny County mm-hmm. when I finished.
Mm-hmm. And people believe that that's fine today to have women
yeah.
doctors. At the time that you graduated, it probably
it was
a little...
questionable.
Yes. Whether you could do the work that the men did. Did you feel competitive with the men? No. You're shaking your head, but we can't hear you on the tape if
no.
you shake your head.
You mean the tape still running?
Right. We're still talking about you. But it's really been a real privilege to talk with you, I must tell you.
I appreciate it.
I admire your memory for names, for incidents in your life. It's been a long time to go back to your early days of medical school.
I have one classmate. Dr. Harry Miller, do you know him?
Yes, I know of him.
Well, he's my living classmate in this area.
Uh-huh. He's a psychiatrist.
No, he was a an internal medicine
An internal
man.
Medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my sister was going to call him and tell him that I'm in the hospital. He fell mm-hmm. a week or so before I did, and he didn't go to the hospital, so we were wondering how.
He was doing. Have you been in touch with any other of your medical school classmates?
Well, there are not many to get in touch with.
I see.
And I have their addresses, mm-hmm. but the last time we had a reunion, they found it difficult to come. So.
Yes. Most of them have left Pittsburgh?
Well, they live... Some of them live in Florida, some of them live in small towns around.
But when you first graduated, were you in touch with these people from your class?
Yes, oh yeah.
I see. So they weren't strangers
no,
to you?
No, they weren't strangers.
Mm-hmm. But over the years, you went your own way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did you treat your family members?
No.
You're smiling.
Enough troubles around.
You didn't want to involve them. Uh-huh. They didn't come after you.
No.
Because I would imagine sometimes people, if they have a doctor in the family, prevail upon them to give them an answer to whatever is hurting.
Well, you know, we always laugh at Barbara and David. Yep. When their two kids were little, David always said that they were going out tonight because they have a doctor for a babysitter.
Ah. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No.
But your friends didn't prevail upon you?
Oh, no.
To give them
some
medical advice?
I stayed away from giving
free
advice.
Free advice, or any advice, can get into a lot of trouble. Well, I want to thank you.
Very welcome.
I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed being here.
Thank you very much.
And I hope you're going to be all well soon.
I hope so.
And one day we'll come visit you at your apartment.
Okay. And see my two little chairs.
And see your chairs and see some other things that you may have that you can share with us. Okay?
Okay.
Give our regards to Mrs. Friedland.
Yes, do. And best wishes for the new year.
Yes. We hope the new year will be a better one for
Thank you.
I where
hope
you'll
it'll
be better
good,
help.
Good one for all of us.
Yes, amen. Okay.